Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Bulwark Takes. I am Andrew Egger with The Bulwark, joined by my colleague Brendan Hartnett to talk about some interesting stuff he's been uncovering lately about the Green Party. Green Party's been in the news a little bit, mostly for weird, unrelated reasons having to do with Jill Stein getting arrested in 2024 or charged in 2024 over assaulting a police officer. There was a warrant out for her arrest a few days ago. They rescinded the warrant, turned out to be mostly a nothing. But Brendan has been doing a little bit of real digging, real shoe leather investigative reporting about some strange stuff that's been going on in some of these lower down races. Everybody knows Jill Stein. Everybody knows, you know, the honcho of the Green Party. But some stuff that's going on and the down ballot stuff. He wrote this really interesting piece for us a few days ago. Did MAGA infiltrate the Green Party in Michigan? And as we have, he dug into this race. I'm gonna have him talk about it a little bit. And then it turns out there's a bunch of cases where maybe there's more to this, and he keeps scratching away at it. So I'm very interested. Brendan, first of all, how did you get on? Well, I guess first I should say, why don't you just sort of lay the groundwork for the first of these races that you were looking at, this Shane Dedrick guy in Michigan's 7th Congressional District?
Yeah, so the district's previously represented by Alyssa Slotkin. So it's a really, it's a toss-up district. It's going to be a razor's edge election. Tom Barrett is the incumbent Republican who flipped the seat last year. So it's his first term, and he's going to be running against William Lawrence, who founded the very progressive Sunrise Movement. There are two different moderates also running. They split the vote. And this is the D-Trip's least preferred candidate, but it's still going to be probably an interesting election, and I think it'll be a nail biter. And so when we have a candidate like this guy, Shane Dedrick, who we found, who could spoil the vote, it really could have a meaningful impact on the election results and perhaps throw the race to the Republicans.
Yeah. So this is always the critique that's thrown against third party candidates, right? I mean, if you're a libertarian who's in a race, supposedly you're helping the Democrats by splitting the Republican vote. If you're a Green Party person, supposedly you're helping Republicans by splitting the you know, more liberal vote. This goes a little beyond just that ordinary critique, right? I mean, when you started digging into this, what did you kind of find out about Shane Dedrick and the way that he got this nomination in the first place?
Yeah, so it's a wild story that I uncovered with Sam Stein, our fearless managing editor. And basically, this guy, Shane Dedrick, is essentially a ghost. He has very little social media that he's not active on. He barely follows anybody. And how we really uncovered him was I was cross-referencing Green Party candidates against those who had previously donated to Republicans, according to FEC records. And Dedrick stood out because the only previous political donations he's made has been to the Perry Johnson for President campaign. He made these donations in 2023. They totaled $6, but it was still notable. And so from there, I just started digging into him, found his social medias that are, again, like pretty empty. He follows one girl, Parker Maddock, who is the daughter of a GOP power couple in Michigan. And that's like one of his like four followers on two different platforms. So it seemed like there's some overlap, and we kept digging, and that led us to the Green Party's nominating convention that they held on April 25th over Zoom. That was truly, it was like to some degree something out of Portlandia, also something out of SNL. It was a wild ride. There was no vetting of the candidates, and Dedrick showed up to the Zoom meeting with his camera off. He had a conversation with them for about 33 minutes, and he left with the Green Party nomination. It was really crazy. I've subsequently been trying to get in touch with Dedrick. I haven't had any success, nor have local Michigan outlets. And in fact, the communications director for the Michigan Green Party, who's also running for the Senate under the Green Party's ballot line, has also not been able to get into contact with him and said that nobody from the Green Party has heard from Shane Diedrich since the April 25th nominating convention. So it's just a total mess. And it's really crazy. And this guy does seem, he has a lot of the markers of somebody who'd be a Republican plant running with the intention of spoiling the vote. So here's a clip that we have from the Green Party nominating convention where one man in the on the Zoom call raises an objection saying that he has concerns that this process is rushed and that it might allow for a MAGA person to come in and run on the Green Party ballot line. Why don't we play that clip?
I kind of have a black issue with this because I think this whole procedure is kind of rushed and hurried, and I'm not sure. I mean, no denigration to him. I'm sure he's probably legitimate, but it opens the door to having people come in who can tell us all the things we want to hear.
Right.
And then they turn out to be MAGA and they trash our party. They trash us.
Well, Jane, are you MAGA?
Terrible. It's like I said, it's
no,
so,
sir.
I'm not saying he's
no, that, that, no, it's a completely reasonable question for sure.
Yeah,
and that's part of the reason why I was here too, is I wasn't sure all the proper places to be signing up. I obviously found the documents and everything, but I knew you guys would be able to answer a lot more of my questions, so that's part of why I'm here too.
You're in the right place.
It's interesting to me in that clip that it apparently does occur to them that a guy like this could be a MAGA interloper, but the only thing they can really think of as a possibility for why that might be would be to make the Green Party look silly later, which it doesn't seem like that's this guy's intention at all. He just wants to be in this race with a ballot line for the Green Party and hopefully siphon off a couple of votes in this way. What has been the Green Party's reaction when you've reached out to them? When, I mean, it's kind of embarrassing for them because you know, when you're one of these little parties, you're glad anybody's showing up at all. You know, you're happy anybody wants to run these, you know, quixotic little campaigns here and there. But, you know, this is really the only story that's been breaking through, like we've been saying about the Green Party recently, and it makes them look basically foolish from top to bottom. So what has their reaction been as you've been bringing these stories to them?
I was actually the one who notified the comms director for the Green Party that we believe this was a Republican plant. And his quote to me at the time in early August was, there's some possibility that he's a Republican plant, but based on the strength of the evidence, I would say that there's also, you know, some sort of possibility that he's had an evolution of his views and values. At one point during the call, Diedrich talks about how there's been crazy weather in Michigan lately. And so he's concerned because Democrats aren't talking about climate. Again, he's now running against the co-founder of the Sunrise Movement. So, you know, definitely somebody who will be talking about climate. But subsequently, when I reached out, they had pretty much said the same thing. But one thing that was interesting was on the Green Party's official Facebook page, they stopped promoting Diedrich, but they also had a quote from their nominee for the Secretary of State in Michigan. That said, if I lived in the 7th district, my own personal choice would probably be the grassroots candidate Felix Thibodeau of the Working Class Party now. And so I reached out again to the comms director and I was asking if this was them withdrawing their endorsement and formally endorsing the Working Class Party candidate. They said no, and that the Secretary of State candidate was posting from the official account in his personal capacity, which is certainly an interesting thing. I wonder what would happen if they did that at the DNC. So after I reached out, they deleted that line from the post, but there was still a comment left up where, among other things, the Secretary of State candidate referred to Diedrich as a handsome young MAGA mystery candidate. And again, so I followed up. So Douglas Marsh, who's the comms director, is still not admitting that he's definitely a MAGA plant. He's saying it's definitely possible. And he's increasingly, as he said, the longer Diedrich remains MIA, the more difficult it is to extend him the benefit of the doubt. I think it's been enough time has passed. He doesn't have a campaign website. He hasn't reported anything to the FEC. Like, at some point, you know, it seems like enough time has passed to conclude that, like, you should stop extending him this benefit of the doubt. But alas, they're not ruling out the fact that he might be a true Green Party candidate, because he did sign, as Douglas Marsh told me, a sworn affidavit that he supports eco-socialism. So that's their basis for believing that he's probably telling the truth. I'm not fully sold. As you saw, he dodged the question about whether or not he's a Republican plant. And basically everything else since then has just continued to grow suspicion.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we don't know because he is impossible to get in touch with.
Yeah.
and ask about any of this. Is this all just sort of like, you know, ass covering choreography at this point with these questions of the endorsement? I mean, like, he has the ballot line now, right? And he's going to have the ballot line regardless.
Yeah. No, so he's going to be on the ballot. People can vote for him if they want to. It just seems like the Green Party won't be promoting him anymore, at least not until they hear from him. But it still presents the opportunity that for low information voters, maybe people who are mad at the Democratic Party, they might vote for the Green Party. And in a close race, that can really have an impact.
This episode is sponsored by The New York Times. This week, a new New York Times investigation by Dave Phillips uncovered how a legal loophole could allow thousands of America's wild horses to be sent to slaughter under the Trump administration. The reporting you depend on, that this show depends on, started long before that headline. They gather all of the facts, find the story, and distill it all down so you can learn what matters most in minutes. Dave Phillips, the reporter, combed through government records to find that the Bureau of Land Management, the agency in charge of protecting wild horses, is quietly selling thousands of horses to buyers. The loophole, instead of killing the wild horses, which is illegal, people instead get to buy Mustangs on the cheap from the government and then quickly resell them to be exported alive before they are killed abroad. It can take a week, months, or even years of work to put together a story like that. Beyond poring over government records, Dave spoke to livestock traders and animal welfare organizations to understand what is going on. That's what journalists do to keep all of us informed. And personally, as folks may be aware, I cut my teeth at the New York Times. I was a reporter there for many years. I'm very grateful for that experience, and I'm proud to be an alum. And I still, to this day, remain dependent on the critical reporting that the Times produces. Wherever you seek it out, nationally, locally, support fact-based reporting.
It would be one thing if this were, you know, one guy in one Michigan congressional race, obviously an important congressional race, a swing congressional district. But the crazier thing to me is you've continued to dig into this. Can you just rattle off a few more of these maybe interesting or questionable or some of these Green Party nominations where there's just some reason to believe that maybe not everything is on the up and up here?
Totally, yeah. So in Arizona, there's two statewide Green candidates who, I mean, I don't even know if anybody's at this point refuting that they're Republican plants running in the Green Party. One is for governor, one's for Secretary of State. The nominee for governor, Risa Lombardo, she was previously a registered Republican. She had a business that sold merch for political campaigns. She was selling in 2023 buttons that said both Trump won and Kerry won, a reference to Kerry Lake and her failed 2022 Senate bid that then she would again fail in 24. And she's married to a Republican precinct committee man who she's now is claiming that she's divorced from, but there's no record of a divorce happening and they're still living at the same house, according to the Arizona Mirror. So that one's super suspicious. The Secretary of State candidate's similarly suspicious. So both of these Arizona candidates are paying various political firms that only work for Republican candidates for various consulting services. And then there's also one that was spun out about 2 or 3 weeks before the candidate for governor made her first payment to the firm. It had no record previously, but for a brief period, it listed two different Republicans at like Republican operatives as the officers leading this, you know, mystery startup consulting firm. So that's one. And then the other one that's really interesting is in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania 7th Congressional District. That's the Lehigh Valley region. Bob Brooks is the Democratic nominee running against Ryan McKenzie. McKenzie won the race in 24 by just a few hundred votes. He's a first-term congressman. And really, it's a district that in this wave environment, presuming we have a wave environment, it should wash out. Like he should just be going out with the tide. But we'll see. This guy, also same thing. He ran for office previously as a Republican. He's got a ton of Republican connections. He is currently being sued by both the Green Party and the Democratic Party to try to get him off the ballot, alleging that he lied in the signature gathering process. The Philadelphia Inquirer reported that he had 22 people paid to collect signatures on his behalf, and only one of them was from Pennsylvania. The rest had all been working for Republican, Libertarian, and other independent, you know, signature gathering efforts. So we'll see what happens there. One thing I do find interesting is that after this lawsuit was filed, he hired an attorney at a Philadelphia-based law firm that's really big with Pennsylvania Republicans. They've represented Donald Trump. They've represented Dave McCormick and the RNC on various election law suits in Pennsylvania. So he's another one. He seems to be pretty clearly, and with very little disputing it other than his own word, a Republican plant
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's interesting you mentioned the lawsuit. At least in this instance, they are sort of actively trying to figure out how to clean up this mistake. Look, I it's an amazing story. It's amazing reporting. Thanks, Brendan, for bringing it to all of our attention. I have no issue with these tiny little third parties doing the ordinary spoiler thing, you know, siphoning off some votes here and there. That's just kind of the nature of the game. It's the way it's going to be. You can't really fault them for that sort of thing. This is a little different. I mean, the complete lack of due diligence on some of this stuff in ways that could really matter, where it's not just that you're accidentally siphoning some off, but that you are sort of waving through people who are genuine, deliberate, strategic plans. How does the Republican Party of Michigan have more of a plan for the Green Party's candidates than the Green Party has for their own candidates? I mean, it's really kind of amazing stuff. So get your shit together, Green Party. Let's see some hustle out there. Let's see some logistics. Let's see the most preliminary background sort of investigation imaginable of some of these people who want to run for you. Thanks, Brendan, for coming on and talking to us about this stuff. It's a remarkable story. We're going to continue to follow it. Thanks to you all out there for watching our content. I hope you will subscribe to The Bulwark. Get more stuff just like this. Head over to thebulwark.com. See Brendan's article with Sam. We can put it down in the description. Thanks, and we'll see you all next time.
Good news! Goodwill Columbus has opened a new store in Westerville. And with a new donation center, it's easier than ever to make a difference in your community. Bring your gently used clothing, furniture, electronics, and more to our donation drop-off. Each donation and purchase supports our mission to provide jobs, free job training, essential services, and more right here in Westerville. Drop your donations off at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAPS sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons. From tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond, every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.